deep in the darkness, you see the light of truth. Welcome to Liberty's Thursday. 100 South African rhinos are being relocated to Botswana's remote wilderness to put them beyond the reach of rampant poaching. What lesson can we learn from South African conservationists? Obviously, we should ship our rhinos to Botswana, starting with Boehner, Cantor, Ryan, McConnell, Cornyn, McCain, Graham, Corker, and company. This isn't a joke, because we are in the midst of 2014 midterms, and the battle is not only to save the Constitutional Republic, but to decide if the right wing of the national duopoly will be populated by rhinos, Republicans in name only, or authentic conservatives and libertarian elephants. The media meme is that the GOP is in the midst of a civil war, being waged by far-right extremists from the Tea Parties and Liberty Movement. The truth is that there is no civil war, because the GOP is dead. It died in Tampa in August 2012. Good riddance. The problem is that at the national level, the statists have instituted a duopoly, and no office holders are elected unless they have a D or an R after their name. The solution is to open up the ballot access rules and the polling precincts, but that takes time. So get started right away. In the meantime, take over the GOP and resurrect it as a genuinely conservative party with legitimate libertarian tendencies. As the imperial presidency wages war on the people and the constitutional republic, the dead, rhino-run GOP does nothing other than hand Obama more and more power by capitulating to his demands and abdicating the constitutional responsibility of the legislature. But there is hope. Some congressmen and senators who happen to be Republicans are actually serious about the Constitution, separation of powers, federalism, and the rule of law. But they are marginalized in the corporatist media and sidelined by the rhino so-called leadership. Support them. Grow the ranks. Create a grassroots force multiplier. Support the Olympian efforts of the real conservatives like Senator Ted Cruz, who filibustered to prevent cloture on the erasing of the debt ceiling in the Senate after Boehner sent over a bill that wipes out Congress's power over the purse and borrowing. Another Olympic event this week was the filing of the largest class action lawsuit in defense of the Bill of Rights by the junior senator from Kentucky. Rand Paul versus Barack Obama is a case being litigated by Ken Cuccinelli to defend your natural rights against usurpation by a tyrannical government. Soon, the Winter Olympics will give way to the primary season and then summer battles both here and abroad. A continually declining economy and the fall campaigns for the House and a third of the Senate, along with state and local races. You can't wait until Labor Day to get started. Now is the time to get busy and further the conservative cause of liberty. You have a choice. Work hard now to further liberty by having real conservatives and real libertarians take over the GOP, or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. End the destruction of our economy by the Republican-Democrat duopoly and their Keynesian masters at the Federal Reserve by standing with the real conservatives. To defeat the cultural Marxists, the statists, collectivists, oligarchs, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists, first you must crush the rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex Olympus, broadcasting from the Imperial City. Doctor?
Doctor, and I am Trog from the West Coast. I hear you guys are getting snow out there. We had a little bit of snow, but pretty much we're protected inside this little South Sound, Puget Sound, and the radioactive Japan current over here, so it's keeping us warm. Pretty mild. You know, a lot going on. And I don't think people know what's going on, to be honest with you. I don't think people realize that the House just gave the president an unlimited debt ceiling increase capability until March of 2015. I don't think people get that. And I don't know why people don't understand this stuff and why people don't understand, you know, how bad this is. I wonder how many people watched Yellen's hearing the other day. I had to because I do a radio show and manage a group, so I had to be on top of it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have listened to it at all. I had never heard so much incoherent mumbo jumble in my life than somebody out of somebody's mouth who's supposed to be controlling our or fixing our economy. It was unbelievable. And I'm not that smart on economic stuff. I'm not some big money investor and things like that. So we had that. We had the debt ceiling, basically. Here you go, Obama. Here's a big old fat pet checkbook, and do what you want. That's just basically what Boehner did. We had a couple guys try to stop it in the Senate. And so immediately the rhinos in the Senate, you know, the castrated rhinos, jumped up and initially were not going to vote for cloture, jumped up and, you know, starting with McConnell and right down the line, enough Republicans voted to kill a filibuster. And so they turned around and did their vote. And, of course, all the guys who always vote for cloture because they don't think the American people understand the word and what it means, then they vote no, you know, afterwards. So, and with the majority of Democrats in the Senate, that means that the bill passed, went right to the president's desk, and now he can, I don't know, he can borrow a trillion, two, five, ten. What's the limit? I mean, he's got a phone and a pen.
There isn't a limit.
Gelded Republicans in the leadership, and I don't want to be careful about how I say that, but it's in the leadership, just enough of them to basically hand him everything he wants. And I can't even fathom what this means. You know, I think you and I both know what was coming. I think that ever since 2010, when the Tea Party, you know, handed a majority in the House and sweeping wins across the country, I remember watching, you know, the debt ceiling get raised, and I'm like, what? And then, you know, Ryan up there, beating his chest, we're going to save the country because we got a majority. And then they basically have folded on every major issue put before them that impacts our economy and our future and our kids' future and our kids' kids' future. So I don't know why anybody's surprised. I personally was not paying attention that much back then. I have no idea why anybody voted in a majority of any to put Boehner in power, but it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know why they re-voted him in. Based on his past experience, we knew what he was going to do, and he's done it. He just basically gave King Obama his crown. That's what he did. And then the Senate turned around, and the gelded rhinos over there, they basically followed suit, just enough power for the Democrats to pass it. And there you go. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And we have such a weak Congress that that a senator has to file an individual suit on his own to go after a government from violating the Fourth Amendment. That was kind of interesting, and more power, too, ran for that. But it was like, you know, the guy had to file a lawsuit, a senator, because the Republicans are so freaking weak. That's pretty mind-boggling, and definitely more to be discussed as we roll on here. So my opening statement, surrender, caucus. GOP yeah. Rhino leadership. Honestly, I'm not mad. I don't get as mad when I see a picture of, like, I just saw Schumer on the television. And at first
Chucky
I thought
Schumer?
It was Stalin. Then Chucky, and I thought it was Stalin, and then I recognized it was Schumer. But they don't make me as mad as Republicans. Because they're
doing
exactly
what they're about.
Yeah, you know what they're about. You know what their policies are. You know they want to, you know, have some socialist world order and where everybody's a slave unit and they have all the power and they'll take care of everything and dictate your, you know, your freedoms and your rights. I mean, I know what they're made of. I know what their goal is. They've been on a 100-year plan, you know. and pass on from generation to generation. That it's like whatever. I mean, it's like Genghis Khan. You know, he was what he was. You know, it's the people who allow dictators and totalitarianism to exist. I mean, it's one thing when you're conquered, you know what I'm saying? And then you got to fight your way out of it, you know, with blood and guts. Maybe that's what we need. I don't know. You know, something to wake people up because people are clueless. But it's another to hand over your freedom to slavery. And that's what's frustrating to me more than anything else, which is what has been our major conversation since we've met. And that is, when are people going to wake up and quit voting these creeps back into power? They are Democrats. Boehner is a Democrat. McConnell is a Democrat. McCain, I mean, that guy drools when he gets. Did you see that picture I posted of McConnell or McCain and who was the other guy sitting there? But there was a couple of Republicans in the Senate when Obama was doing his State of the Union, talking about the fact that he was going to be a dictator, and they looked like a bunch of kids at a hockey game. They were so excited. The one where Cruz was sitting down going, I'm not applauding that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Graham, I think. You know, and well, he was probably
his little girlfriend.
Who cares?
That's McCain's little girlfriend.
So here we are. You know, once again, the same conversation about the same issue and the frustration of why in the hell don't people get it? Why aren't
because
more people
Thursday.
Understanding what we talk about? Oh, it's Thursday? Is this Thursday?
That's why. It's Thursday. It's not Thursday.
Well, it's snowing. That's why the stock market's down.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing how snow affects the financial markets. You mentioned posting a picture, and I assume that you're talking about in the group. That group is Liberty's Talk on Facebook. That's Chris's group. If you want to know what's going on and you want in-depth, detailed cross-analysis of the craziness that's happening that you don't hear in the mainstream media, go to Liberty's Talk on Facebook. And while you're on Facebook, stop by our show page, Liberty's Thunder. And if you like the page, you will get notifications in your news feed when we're broadcasting and other vital information. But if you don't interact with the page too often, Facebook will block it for you. So you can just right-click on that like button and say get notifications, and you will be notified. Because as of 2 weeks ago, we changed our schedule slightly. We are now live 2 days a week. That's Thursday and Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, new time, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's the new Liberty's time. Thursdays we will be taking calls around about the second hour. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. If you want to comment about grassroots conservatism, the topic at hand, or if you have some initiative that you think that the audience should be made aware of so they can take action, like signing up for Rand Paul's NSA lawsuit and that sort of thing, give us a call, 646-649-1013. Or chat with me on our page. That's Liberty's Thunder on Facebook. We've been off the last two Sundays. First it was so that we could watch the Seattle Stoners beat the Denver Dopers. And then last week we just decided to take Sunday off. But we will be back live this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we will be talking more in depth about Rand Paul's NSA lawsuit, and also about Ted Cruz's filibuster that you never heard of. But the topic for tonight is get off your ass and get busy, because conservatism is the only solution to what the hell is happening to this country. And instead of being concerned about the latest crazy friggin' thing that Obama has done, don't waste your time on Obama. He is the current socialist meat puppet. He is going to do what the socialist meat puppet does. Consolidate the power in the imperial presidency so that the state can rule your life. If you want to solve the problem, the Republicans are not the solution. The Republicans are as much a part of the problem. Screw the Republican Party. Unfortunately, it is the only apparatus available at the national level to effect any kind of positive change. And there are Olympic champions in the Republican Party who are doing it. But they cannot do it without you. They cannot do it without reinforcements. You need to protect those Republicans that are up there now who are being attacked by Karl Rove and all those other jerk-offs like Justin Amash. You need to primary losers like McConnell and Boehner. There's a guy named Gurr, I think, running against Boehner, so Ohio, you better get rid of Boehner. And Matt Bevin is running against Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. Kentucky, get rid of him. And if you are not in Kentucky or Ohio, guess what? You can do stuff. You can call people and get them motivated. You can share this show. Oh, imagine that. What if you told people that we were broadcasting live on Thursdays and we had call-ins and then we were on again on Sunday and that you can listen to the shows anytime? You just go to Blog Talk Radio. You search out Liberty's Thunder. You scroll down our page. All the shows are right there. You hit click. It plays right in your browser. It doesn't cost you a thing. And if you go below the scrolling graphics, you click on the download link and you get an MP3. An MP3 that you can listen to in your MP3-enabled device or email it to people, especially people who don't know about the show, or burn a CD and take it to your meetings, your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Republican Party meetings, your AA meetings, whatever. Just get it out there. Sharing our show does not mean that you endorse everything we say. It doesn't mean you endorse me or my co-host, Trog. But it does mean that you are telling people to take a different perspective other than the crap that they get force-fed by the corporatist media, and that includes most especially Fox News, because people who tend to be conservative and or libertarian watch Fox because it is, quote, fair and balanced, meaning that it isn't as left-leaning as the others, but the fact is that that's how they get you, because they put on a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz here and there, they have a Trey Gowdy here and there, and then they feed you all sorts of other crap, like by having Rove on all the time and bringing Mitt Romney back from the dead and doing all this other crap to convince you that there's some kind of civil war in the Republican Party and that these extremists from the right have really ruined things. Really? Because guess what? The Republicans had a friggin' majority. They had a majority. Gingrich got them a majority in 94. They fought Clinton. And what Gingrich did was he balanced the budget baseline, but still more balanced than anything you've seen in 60 years, cut capital gains taxes, reformed welfare, closed government departments that were crappy, and that was all done after the second government shutdown when Bill Clinton came out and said the era of big government is over. And then what happened? W, who ran as a Ron Paul non-interventionist in 2000 to beat Al Gore, granted that Roe's strategy was so friggin' successful that the Supreme Court had to make him president. That's why Karl Rove is apparently some kind of friggin' expert, I guess. And so what happened when they got the presidency and got rid of Gingrich? They went on a Democrat drunken spending spree that brought you a loss in 2006 and Barack Obama in 2008. That's what the Republicans did when they were in the majority. They are even worse than the Democrats, because at least the Democrats tell you that they are basically socialists. The Republicans tell you, we're the party of the Constitution, smaller government and lower taxes and free markets. Well, that's a bunch of crap, because they're not. Now, some of them are, but not the leadership position, not the Mr. Conservative mini-Mitt Paul Ryan, not John crying tan, useless piece of whiskey liver Boehner, not little Eric Cantnot, that snot-nosed prick, not Mitch McConnell with his nice Kentucky hokey accent who's basically just making himself rich and screwing you over. All right. None of those guys are actually conservative, and they are the problem, and we would be better off having Democrats bring the ship down and have it hung around their necks than we would having these guys do it in the name of conservatism and alienating everybody in the universe while they're at it. You need real conservatives. That's what you have to do. And don't sit there and bitch that they're doing this to you. They're not doing this to you. You're letting them do this to you. This is still a representative democracy. We are still responsible. If we're not awake, if we're not involved, if we don't grow our ranks by getting more people involved, this is on us. You know, Edmund Burke said, men qualify for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains upon their own appetites. In proportion as their love of justice is above their rapacity, in proportion as their soundness and sobriety of understanding is above their vanity and presumption, in proportion as they are more disposed to listen to the counsels of the wise and good in preference to the flattery of knaves. Society cannot exist unless a controlling power upon will and appetite be placed somewhere. And the less of it there is within, the more there must be without. It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters. That's where you are. That's why this is happening. You've sat back on your butt watching American Idol, stuffing your face with Cheetos, and worrying about your friggin' 401k and the stock market rising as we blow up the world, debase the currency, and elect knaves to rule over us. Oh, but Rex, I listen to your show and I'm involved. That's great. We need more. You need to get more people.
Yep.
You don't just share the same stuff back and forth to the same 8 people in the same 12 groups on Facebook and think you've accomplished something. You've got to expand the net. You have to go out there now in February and get people involved so that we can have a tsunami in November that makes 2010 look like a little girl's tea party, because that is the only way you're going to get men who operate in the federal government to roll it back into its constitutional box. Right, Drog?
You know what's, no, that was beautiful. I was just kind of sitting back and reveling in your dialogue there. You know, one thing that I have not been able to understand, unless it's part of the RINO strategy, is no profiling on the states that are kicking butt and taking names. You know, Obama likes to get up there and tell the world how many new jobs have been created and how wonderful things are. But nobody will get up there and profile the fact that you're dealing with states that are totally controlled by Republicans who, after the crash, came in and got control and made reforms, you know, cut taxes, cut regulations, and made the state, you know, attractive to growth and business. Because at the state level, you actually have to produce something. At the federal level, they just turned to Bernanke and now Yellen and say, hey, print me some more money up there, babe. You know, and, you know, ruin the future of your grandchildren. And that's how they covered their butt. And in fact, I don't know how many shows and how many times we've talked about it, but, you know, they're printing $1 trillion a year on top of what they're borrowing. You know, debt ceiling and printing, they've never done this before. We are so far beyond anything sane. There is going to be a correction. It's going to happen. My fear is it's going to happen under a bunch of weak Republicans who won't know how to handle it, who won't be able to enact reforms like Reagan did that can generate a tremendous amount of repair-type economic reforms that will generate solutions. I look at this stuff and I go, we all know there's going to be a correction. You cannot throw, you know, the Fed has gone from $580 billion to $4.1 trillion on their balance sheet of bad U.S. debt to cover for a, you know, socialist, communist, won't fix anything, won't repair anything president, and on top of, you know, almost $6 trillion in debt. So I don't know if people understand, but if you take something and you keep adding water to it, you dilute it. Well, that's what inflation is. And which we have not really seen. We've seen some of it, but the majority of it won't occur until that money starts floating, you know, all that printed and borrowed money gets out of the stock market and starts moving down into the economy. I listen to a lot of financial stuff, and one of the guys was talking about, you know, they're talking about banking reform because nobody's getting loans. Banks aren't loaning money. No, they're out there making a fortune in the stock market with the money that was supposed to be moved into the economy so that, you know, businesses and small businesses could prosper, and none of that happened. I mean, it is amazing. And you and I listened to Yellen, the hearing, and out of one hand...
Torture.
You know, they...
Torture. I wanted to stab my ears with a pencil. Sorry.
Oh, it was terrible. I didn't know that somebody with a PhD could sound that stupid. I mean that... With all due respect, because I grew up around very educated, you know, genius-level people, and so I've, you know, had to submit myself to that as a child, and I'm like going, what did you just say? On one hand, coming out of their mouth, everything's good, we're doing this, we're doing that, and we're going to, you know, observe this and observe that, and here's what our goal is, and then another guy comes along and asks another question, and then, well, it's not doing good, and the economy hasn't, you know, responded, and so we're going to do this, and then we're going to observe that for a while and have a few more meetings, and in the meantime, we're just going to keep printing money and throwing it on the economy and destroy the economy for the future. And I mean by the future, next couple of years. I'm not talking about down the road when you're – you know, old and retired and you don't care anymore. I'm talking about in the next couple of years. So it was painful, Rex. I I've never heard so much gooblygosh in my life. I mean, I thought the president could spit out gooblygosh. And what I heard happen in that hearing blew me away. It really did. Now, the Republicans actually had some good questions, you know, some good economic questions about real issues. And when and somebody asked her a real question and brought up real issues about how our monetizing our debt was affecting emerging markets in the world market and how that's impacting those countries, she couldn't even talk. She couldn't even answer it. And I'm thinking, this is the head of the Federal Reserve. Oh, my God.
The number one
God.
Economist in the world.
Well, supposedly.
Yeah. Her only answer is vis-a-vis monetary policy. The only thing that I can do is what Bernanke, the guy that looks like Dr. Zarkov from Flash Gordon, gave me, which is print strong, Janet. Print strong. It's the only tool she's got. Friggin' alien.
They are an alien. They are. I think she's a cyborg. I really do. But
Janet, the alien.
And you know what frustrates the hell out of me about this, just this whole dialogue that we're having right now, is Republicans turned around and handed over the power of the purse to an just the most unresponsible guy since, I mean, he makes Carter look like a hero. What are we spending? $3.6 trillion a year, and most of that's going to, you know, propping up failed systems like welfare and food stamps and disability, and while they implement the disaster called Obamacare, while they've already passed 300 new laws in the unconstitutional, you know, like the EPA and the rest of these organizations that write law, that shouldn't be writing law, that only Congress should be writing law, but what the hell, the president writes his own laws, so, God, maybe you and I could sit down and write some laws.
I don't think you have to write them anymore.
He could sign them.
Well, that's exactly, you don't have to write them anymore. You don't have to write the laws. You can just, you know, the socialist meat puppet can just open his mouth and do whatever he wants. He has a pen. I have a pen and I have a phone. I mean, you know, I think sometimes people forget. We did a whole show, Scorching of the Union. It's on our page. Check it out. Powerful stuff. We even replayed it two Sundays ago. We're 30 minutes in. Call in number 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. I mean, look, the simple fact is what Obama did at the State of the Union was signal what he's already kind of been doing, which is, hey, you know what? It would be nice if Congress would make it appear as if they're involved, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I'm in charge. Well, Congress can shut him down, but they won't because, remember, the rhinos don't want to reduce the power of the imperial presidency. They're just hoping that this Obamacare debacle will give them control of the White House in 2016 so that they can wield the power of the imperial presidency. Remember, most of the crap that Obama has as tools extra-constitutionally were developed during the Cheney presidency when George Bush was president. This is a real short clip of what Obama basically said at his Scorching of the Union.
But what I offer tonight is a set of concrete, practical proposals to speed up growth, strengthen the middle class, and build new ladders of opportunity into the middle class. Some require congressional action, and I'm eager to work with all of you. But America does not stand still, and neither will I. So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do.
How liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
That's how liberty dies, to thunderous applause. I mean, didn't he basically just tell us in that speech, reading off his teleprompter, what he was already doing and what he plans to continue doing with this bent-over, complicit, nuked Senate and Johnny Boehner bend-over Republican House?
I am a king. That's what I heard.
You mean he's I thought he was a dictator.
He might be a dictator.
isn't that what he told Larry King?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right?
And the thing,
he had an interview.
Everybody's talking about that he was
Larry
joking around. You know, he was you know that.
I think I got that. You told me to get that. Here, I'll play it right now. This is an interview with Larry King.
It's a pleasure to have with us tonight his first and only ever interview, Admiral General Aladdin, the supreme leader and beloved oppressor of Wadia. Do you have favorite leaders, favorite other oppressors?
There are very few of the great dictators left. All the best ones are now gone. Saddam, Gaddafi, Kim Jong, Cheney. My favorite, unfortunately, is dead.
Who?
You know, I miss Sir Kim Jong, KJ. I miss him a lot. You know, he was a fun man. He died as he lived, in 3-inch heels.
But he was ruthless to his people.
No, he's not ruthless to his people. He was a sweetie pie.
By the way, was there any fallout following the Ryan Seacrest interview when you walked down and you attended the Oscars for some reason?
You know, Seacrest dealt with it very professionally. After all, it's not the first Asian guy to end up all over his chest.
Have you ever failed at anything?
Well, if you look up Israel on Wikipedia, everything is still in the present tense. So that's clearly something that I need to work on.
I'm Jewish.
You are Jewish?
Yes.
You are Jewish?
Yes.
Fine, no problem.
Because I am Jewish, you would take offense, you would spit.
No, nothing to do with that. I just spit on the floor.
I see, so nothing to do
with it. I don't like the floor.
All right, let's get right to it. Do you have nuclear weapons?
What was the question?
Do you have nuclear weapons?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Are you developing nuclear weapons?
No, I literally can't hear you.
I'm going to another question.
Oh, I can hear you now.
You made some astonishing claims over the years that you invented the Pentium processor, that you're next in line to play James Bond.
James Bond, yes.
And that you coined the phrase, take a chill pill.
Take a chill pill.
What does that mean?
It means relax, you know, if things are getting heated, take a chill pill.
President Obama has said that you've lost the legitimacy to rule, you should step down.
I said, Ken, it is hurtful that he is saying that. It was my father, after all, that helped smuggle him from Kenya as a child.
Wait a minute, are you saying he was not born in the United States?
Of course not. This interview is over. So Hamilton, bring me Piers Morgan.
You know what we need to do? We need to do comedy shows. We're too damn serious.
I thought we were doing a comedy show. You might as well do comedy while Rome burns.
I'm an idiot for history, and I'm in the process right now of reading another Rome book and doing research. I feel like I'm living in those days. And I know people can say, oh, you guys are just too intense. You're just too, you don't get it. You know, study history, you know. And what amazes me more than anything else is their ability to bull crap people and to placate people with the news and the media and a crisis here. And, oh, God, let's worry about Iran now. Iran's been there for how long? 10,000 years? Didn't go away for the last 6 years. All of a sudden, that was important. And you know, while they're burning your country down, you know, what are we at? We have a 40% increase in poverty rating. We got 80% of the people right on the edge of it. You know, a massive increase in food stamps and disability and wide open border and sending $4 billion to illegal aliens and tax refunds. I mean, you can't make this crap up, Rex. You know, and even if you have ideological differences between, you know, Republicans and Democrats in terms of what they think solutions are or not, when hundreds of billions of dollars go out the door to corruption, or when either party, doesn't matter which party it is, bails out the banks and the businesses that cause each crash, because every one of them has history. You can study it, you know, and look at who caused it, what they did, how the Fed was involved, the government was involved, and, you know, some a-hole on Wall Street was involved. And then they turn around, bail them out again, And then they turn around and they print more money and borrow more money, and which causes inflation, which means your income goes down another 20%. And if you don't get a, if you're not getting 10, 15, 20% raise a year, you're going behind. And it's been that way since, what, 1971? You know, pretty consistently since, you know, Nixon screwed us and took us off the gold standard and basically took the last constraints away that held government to any kind of accountability fiscally. And you can worry about wars. You can worry, you know, Afghan. We've spent whatever that war cost us, $1 trillion, who the hell knows, hundreds of billions of dollars a year, money going in Afghanistan, all this corruption with all the, you know, the military contractors. And then Karzai just let 34 terrorists out of prison, and everybody's freaking out, jumping up and down. You know, and I, you and I listened to that little clip, and, you know, one guy, Tucker Carlson nailed it. You know, he had some neocon next to him and, on O'Reilly, and that was about all I could watch at O'Reilly. He was pissing me off. But, you know, the one guy saying, well, if we did this and we did that and we should do this and we should do that, and Tucker nailed it. He said, we can't even get a damn website to run. What in the hell makes you think that we can fix some country that's stuck in the frickin' Middle Ages? And it was so, you know, it's one of those aha moments. You know, the Russia, Afghanistan broke Russia's back, and then we turn around and go right back in, do the exact same thing, and the blood and the treasure of our country, you know, and the disabilities of our soldiers, and here we are again. You know, 12 years into this debacle? And the mess and the finances, and we're still paying for it, and we'll be paying for it the rest of our lives. Your children will be paying for it. And as soon as we leave, it'll roll right back to the way it was, and it's been like that for the last 1,400 years, and they ain't going to change shit for us. And we don't have the power to control that environment 24/7. It's on the other side of the damn world. And you know, I remember – I'm sorry, I'm going wild here, but I remember –
You're on a tear.
I knew nothing about Ron Paul in the primary. I sat down and said, I want to study this guy because I heard all the negative anti, you know, he's an isolationist and this and that and the other. And I said, okay, well, the guy obviously has some kind of traction. He sure has a hell of a following. So I started doing research. And when I first started looking at stuff, I was very careful and going, well, I'm not sure I agree with that. Well, I'm not sure I agree with that. But, you know, after about a year and a half of seeing the condition of this country economically, what we're doing abroad, we got conflicts in 100 nations around the world. You know,
making
we're poking
the world safe for democracy.
What democracy? I mean, we're like number 24 on the list now. There's more countries that under a very in-depth ratings are outmaneuvering the great United States of America. It is no longer World War II. You know, we did something great in the world. We took on the worst of the worst, and we did something amazing, and we freed the world, and that was like the last time, you know, somebody, and it goes back to Eisenhower's speech, don't let this industrial war complex take over control of our country, and that's what happened. And so it don't matter if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, I hear people bitching about Russia all day long, and I'm thinking, when was the last time Russia invaded a country? Who's the one that's invading countries all over the frickin' world?
They
invaded, you know,
Georgia,
interfering with governments? And who's causing, you know, revolutions? And how many people died because of Iraq, or innocent people? I'm not talking about the bad guys that you're fighting that have a gun. You know, and I'm like going, where's the conversation about sanity? You know, while our country falls apart, we cannot keep our fingers out of other people's problems. And people that aren't a direct threat to us, you know, and if anything, they're probably more of a threat because we're bombing the shit out of them, and that makes them react. And I'm not saying we cause terrorism, because I don't take that road at all. But it's like, how many times you got to kill villagers with innocent villagers with drones before people hate your guts? How would you feel?
Well, you know? We might find out pretty soon. Because the administration is contemplating killing American citizens with drones without a court order.
Well, and everything
well,
Rand Paul's
crazy.
Yeah, Rand Paul. Yeah, and I love how every time Rand Paul talks about, you know, basic primary rights, like the Bill of Rights, like the Fourth Amendment or freedom of religion. I mean, we hear things every day. We hear things about the attack on religious institutes and the, all the issues with Obamacare and the Catholic Church and, you know, and all these different issues. And then we say people like Rand Paul are crazy because he cares about freedom of religion or freedom, you know, not to have your information searched and seized without a direct warrant or without cause, probable cause. And how far we fought for individual freedom and rights. And we didn't really do it right for a long time in this country. It took a long time to make everybody equal, you know what I'm saying? And to really get our rights down, you know, where you couldn't be abused by a cop. And now we got militarized police. I just watched a video earlier today. I tripped over it because I don't go searching for, you know, bad cop stuff because it's always it tears at me, you know, two sides of my soul. But I watched this video and I'm just like, all that over a traffic stop? Wow, that was intense. I mean, I'm seeing stuff going on every day. You are more apt to be killed by a cop in a conflict than you are a bad guy anymore. I mean, it's just insane. And that you get up and you know, we do these shows trying to get people to wake the hell up, you know, and I, you know, one of my favorite topics is economics, because if you don't have, you know, freedom, you know, economic freedom, you're never going to have personal freedom. But we're losing our constitutional Bill of Rights, you know, freedom of speech. Forget that, man. They're throwing journalists in prison or killing them, you know, if you believe that story. Go ahead, man. I'm rambling.
Hey, you're rambling good. Keep at it. But you're absolutely right. This global imperial regime that we have instituted is only to prop up the fake economy. But don't worry about it. We're going to take out the Russians pretty soon. From what I understand, we just sent Mitt Romney to the Sochi Olympics. So I'm pretty sure Russia will fall apart.
Are you kidding me?
Now. Yeah. Why won't this guy just go away and stay away? Nobody wants you, Mitt. Go away and stay away. I mean, Mitt Romney and Ricky Santorum just need to just leave.
Is he the ambassador of stupidity? What the hell is he doing at the Olympics?
I don't know, man. He saved the Salt Lake City Olympics from something, and now apparently he's going to destroy Sochi. But don't worry about it. I mean, maybe they got him sitting in for Bob Costas, because apparently Bob Costas didn't listen to the warning from the Russians. They Sochi water not for drinking, do not put on face. Apparently Bob Costas washed his face and developed an eye plague, and now he can't broadcast the Olympics. Mitt Romney is like the worst thing that ever happened to the Republican Party, and so is John McCain. But the problem is that John McCain's still here. Jihad Jane McCain is still a senator from Arizona. What the hell is wrong with Arizona? I mean, in the entire state of Arizona, you can't find anybody else to be a senator other than Jihad Jane McCain, who wants to blow up the world. That guy has never met a bomb or a war that didn't give him a hard-on. He just wants to blow
up
the world.
Beehole was in Ukraine trying to stir up trouble and destroy that country. He meets with terrorists in Syria, then he's in Ukraine meeting with, you know, with the undercurrent of people there trying to destroy their fiber of, you know, any kind of stability that they've built. I'm like, what the, who is this guy? Is this another cyborg? Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. I don't know what I'm doing. here's the problem. Okay, here's the basic problem, and the reason that we have to have
voters.
This frigate.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why we have to have this conversation. The problem is voters who are generally sympathetic to conservative and libertarian principles don't know who to vote for because they watch the Fox News and Charles Krauthammer comes up and tells them you have to vote for guys like Pete King, and you have to make sure that guys like Rand Paul don't screw things up and make you unsafe by talking about crazy stuff like, oh, I don't know, the Bill of Rights. I mean, that's from the 17th century. We don't need that kind of stuff anymore. This is a modern era. We need to have the NSA listen to every phone call and read every email and chat and find out what you're doing online and where you're going and who you're talking to, because if you're a subversive, if you talk about things like individual rights, sound money,
oh my God,
abolishing the IRS,
ooh,
ending the Fed, not blowing up the world, you are a subversive, and we have to know who you are. But why is this happening? I'll tell you why it's happening. This is what happens when people have freedom and take it for granted. All right? Our founding fathers fought an 8-year war against the most powerful military in the world over a 3% tax so that they could be free and have representation. Then they wrote a constitution.
And the search and seizure issue.
Yeah, and the quartering of troops, the search and seizure, all that stuff. And then they wrote a constitution to bind government down, including themselves. Because when those guys were elected to the offices in the new government that they created, they were tempted to screw things up. But the Constitution is what bound them down. But what happened is that we got used to this whole freedom thing. We got used to this liberty. We got used to all the prosperity. And so we stopped thinking about it. Alexis de Tocqueville, who was a Frenchman who came here and observed the early United States, you know, he commented, democratic peoples always like equality. But there are times when their passion for it turns to delirium. It is no use pointing out that freedom is slipping from their grasp while they look the other way. They are blind, or rather they can see but one thing, to covet in the whole world. You see,
when did
we
he
are
write
equal,
that, Rex?
This was in the 1800s, I think, when he was here.
Yep.
Early,
I don't
know when he wrote
early
it.
1800s.
Yeah. So, but basically what happens is that we have instituted a government that is bound by law, the rule of law, meaning that the law is something that is reasonable, that we all know about and understand, and we are all bound by it from the top to the bottom.
Everybody
is bound by it. No one is above it. No one is outside of it, and that is what creates an ordered liberty. Now, and so before the rule of law, we are all equal before the law. No one is privileged. That's what the old European system was, which the founding fathers wanted to get away from. Now, just because you're equal before the law doesn't mean that you have equal ability. It doesn't mean that you have equal success. It doesn't even guarantee that you have success. Remember, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No one guarantees you're going to be happy, just that you can pursue it. And that's what we have here. Now, the crazy thing is that the liberal, and I'm talking about from the classical liberal of the founding fathers, which they would call libertarianism, today's modern socialist liberal, is this idea of equality. But it gets twisted and perverted, so perverted that we start talking about income inequality and about redistribution of wealth and about, you know, keeping you safe from everything, including sticking your finger in a socket or bumping your head. Or, you know, it's what happens when you destroy your institutions of society and create a vacuum for the state to fill. When you get rid of fathers, when you are murdering your own children, and when you undermine the marriage and the family and you get rid of mommy, guess what? The government becomes your mother, and you're a child. It's not even a slave as much as a child. You're a child. You get told when to sit, when to get up, when to go. It is disgusting. Tocqueville actually continued, "What good is it to me, after all, if there is an authority always busy to see the tranquil enjoyment of my pleasures and going ahead to brush all dangers from my path, without giving me even the trouble to think about it? If that authority, which protects me from the smallest thorns on my journey, is also the absolute master of my liberty and my life, if it monopolizes all activity in life to such an extent that all around it must languish when it languishes, sleep when it sleeps, and perish if it dies." This is why we have rhinos. I'm just saying, this is why we have rhinos, because conservatives have become clients of the nanny
Democrats.
State as much as the Democrats.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah, because, well, there's two things, and this is where it gets convoluted and people don't understand it, and we talk about it all the time. You know, I like fascism is my word, corporatism is yours, but the whole thing of the merge between these mega companies and Wall Street and, you know, these money companies and banks and government, you know, they've merged. they are the government. I mean, when you go down and you have to buy a toilet that doesn't flush, or a light bulb that costs $15 because some idiot, that was a Republican bill, by the way, people, or the endangered species, which we've only saved like 3 out of 200 and spent billions of dollars of regulations and rules and whole government departments. And that was a Republican too, by the way. And, if you're worried about, environmental, and I care about the environment, so I got to be careful how I say this, but, this whole global warming debacle and Agenda 21 and the UN takeover of the world through that concept, well, that was the EPA. That was a Republican too. We haven't had real wage increases since, what, 70s? And out-of-control government budgets, borrowing, printing, that was a Republican that got rid of the gold standard. So I think that's where people need to get their heads screwed on straight, because they think that we're supposed to be, we're the party of free enterprise and business and individual liberty and blah, 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 and it's all bull crap. They're corporatists when there's a whole lot of difference between a man going out and starting a lawn care business and building his company from the ground up and even, not that I agree with Gary Johnson on a lot of things, but, the guy went out and started out as a handyman and built one of the largest construction companies in his state. That's free enterprise to me. That's where you build things and you make things and you produce something and then you end up hiring people and expanding and you're a benefit to society. There are so many companies that I have no idea what the hell they do. They just manipulate money and buy and sell other companies and sell them off. And, it's changed a lot from the concept of what was a corporation and what is free enterprise. And that's where people need to get re-educated, because if you don't get educated, you're going to keep voting in these pricks who are going to do the same damn thing as the Democrat that's in power. You think Romney was a solution?
Oh, God. Go away a minute. Please. Let's not talk about him anymore. I'm getting nauseous.
Did you throw up?
Yeah, I threw up a little in my mouth. Romney. Cyborg. No, I think it's a very valid point. The fact is that the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, the CLEC, the consultant lobbyist establishment complex, knows how to speak to pander to conservative and libertarian voters so that you can, feel that you're participating in the process. And, of course, when the, quote, liberal progressives get disillusioned with their socialist meat puppet and the pendulum swings back the other way, you get to vote for the Republicans and feel all good about yourself. And then the same policies go on and on and on. The problem that the Republicans are having is that the game is understood by an increasing members of the population, and that they have actually worked to elect people who believe in conservative principles, who believe in the Constitution, and are taking action towards that end. People like Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and Justin Amash and Trey Gowdy. And so they have to smear them in order to perpetuate the rhinoism. Your job is to help those guys by increasing the numbers of people who are aware, and the way that you do that is you have to really understand conservative and libertarian principles. And there's a lot of overlap between the two. I mean, libertarians in many sense, especially the extreme libertarians, are look, libertarians come in many flavors from the left to the right. It runs a whole gamut. But for the most part, other than in areas of morality, because a lot of libertarians are as materialist as Marxists and secular progressives, but a lot of libertarians are not. They're good, faithful people who believe in a natural order morality. People like Rand Paul, people like Ron Paul, okay? These are not anarchists. These are not Gary
Amash.
Johnson. Justin Amash. These are conservative libertarians, which essentially is the same as conservatives. The problem is that we've been taught to speak in the terms of the left, as defined by republicanism. We allow the Democrats and their media to set the agenda, and then we fight the ground on their terms, and our generals are rhinos who are basically traitors working for the other side. You cannot win a battle that way. So what you need to do is get more people who believe in these principles, people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. I mean, Ted Cruz
filibustered that crappy bill. We're going to talk about this more in detail on Sunday, that crappy bill that John Boehner sent over, which wipes out the debt ceiling, which remember that the last time that, you know, they made a deal, McConnell made a deal, the debt ceiling disappeared until February 7th. Well, Boehner passed a clean debt ceiling.
$500 billion in a heartbeat.
Right. And Boehner had to pass a, quote, clean debt ceiling. In other words, get no concessions on spending. And this is after Ryan destroyed the sequester, you know, budget caps because of that great compromise conservative, you know, budget deal that spent $1.1 trillion that we don't have. So Boehner sent this over, but he couldn't get his caucus to vote for it. So he mustered up enough of his rhino votes to pass this debt debacle, wiping out the debt ceiling, giving Obama absolute discretion over how much is borrowed for the next 13 months, he passed it with Democrats. That violates the Hastert rule. That violates his responsibility as the chief Republican in the House. It violates his responsibility as Speaker of the House. And basically said, Obama wants to raise it a little bit. Let's put it on the Democrats and let them own it. Basically, what he wanted to do is get as few Republicans to vote for this thing as possible so that they could run as conservatives in November. Well, the fact is that he abdicated his responsibility by eliminating the debt ceiling, which means that Obama can borrow as much as he wants, as long as he wants. And remember, Obama came up with that MIRA bullshit in his State of the Union. That's where the borrowing is going to come from, because the Chinese don't want to buy our crap. The Japanese are getting pretty fed up with it. If no one's buying our useless debt and Yellen needs to monetize the debt, where do you think they're going to get the money? There's $9 trillion sitting in your retirement plans between IRAs, 401Ks, 403Bs, SEPs and all that kind of stuff. They're going to take that money and they're going to use it to buy these crappy bonds in order to prop up the debt system and go to war with Iran in order to perpetuate the petrodollar. That's the kind of crazy stuff that's going on, but you can't make hide or hair sense out of it if you don't know what conservative principles are. Now, the Leadership Institute, which Morton Blackwell, who's not exactly a young Ron Paul libertarian, has been teaching grassroots conservatives how to actually affect the ground game at the grassroots level and get the right people elected. Because it's not so much about who these people are as it is about what their principles are. Is the person you're electing principled? You don't have to agree with them on everything, but you have to agree on the broad things, which is that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and that is the framework in which they operate. And then there are some areas of prudential disagreement and judgment where we can have some differences. But overall, that has to be the proper framework. The Leadership Institute teamed up with Freethink University to do classes on libertarianism, on conservatism. It's fantastic stuff, and it's free. You can just go right there on the web. We talked about it last Thursday. Just go to FreethinkU. That's FreeThink, the letter U, .com, and search out the classes that they have there. We played a little bit of the introduction to conservatism last week that Ted Cruz had, and the second part of that is opportunity conservatism. And this is where we're talking about if we're all equal before the law and we all want equal opportunity, conservatism is what lifts the most people up materially, and because it's conservative also as a human being, not just a utilitarian cog in an economic machine. Unless you got something you want to throw in there, Chris, we can just listen to a little bit of Ted.
Go for it. Go for it.
All right. This is Conservatism 101, second part, Ted Cruz. Check out all the videos are there. They're free. You can get them, listen to them, and learn and share them with people and get the word out there. This is about 8 minutes. We'll be back on the other side of this. We are at the top of the hour. If you want to talk about conservatism, rhinos, what's going on, call in number 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Just call in, press 1, and we'll bring you on in the second hour. Here is the junior senator from Texas.
For a long, long time, I have advocated what I call opportunity conservatism. Now what does that mean? It means that we as conservative, every domestic policy we think about, we talk about, should focus like a laser on opportunity, should focus like a laser on how does it impact the least off among us? How does it impact those struggling to climb the economic ladder? Let me urge you, as you think about and as you defend conservative principles, to focus like a laser on what does it mean for the least off among us, to view things through a Rawlsian lens. Now, what's a Rawlsian lens? Well, there was a political theorist, John Rawls, who hypothesized that if you were behind what he called a veil of ignorance, if you didn't know what position you would face in the world, what world you would be born into, what country you would be born into, who your parents would be, he hypothesized that behind that veil of ignorance, you would be concerned critically with the impact of policies on the least off among us. Now, I actually think that's a very useful foil. Now, Rawls was a left-wing academic, and so he concluded the answer was socialist. But Rawls was wrong as an economic matter, but he wasn't wrong in terms of who to focus on. The American free market system has been the greatest engine of prosperity and opportunity the world has ever seen. And let me tell you right now, one of the saddest things among a lot of conservatives is that there is, I think, what I'd call a false consciousness. That's a term from Marxism, where a lot of conservatives believe the lies the left tells. The biggest lie in politics, I'm convinced, is that Republicans are the party of the rich. That's simply not the case. Look, the rich, big business, they do great with big government. Big business gets in bed with big government. What's happened under the Obama administration? The rich have gotten richer. The top 1% are wealthier now than they were when Obama was elected. Who has gotten hammered? Who are the losers under the Obama economic agenda? It is the people who are struggling to climb the economic ladder. It's young people. It's Hispanics. It's African Americans. It's single moms. You know, under Barack Obama, Hispanic unemployment climbed to nearly 10%. African-American unemployment to nearly 14%. Youth unemployment, age 16 to 19, over 25%. Why is that? Because when you're hammering small businesses, and two-thirds of all new jobs come from small businesses, when you're hammering small businesses with $1.7 trillion in new taxes, with massive regulations, the people who lose aren't the rich. The people who lose aren't the CEOs. The people who lose are those who are just struggling, those who are just starting. The people who are losing their jobs right now because of Obamacare are young people, are Hispanics, are African Americans, are single moms. They're the ones getting their hours forcibly reduced. They're the ones seeing health insurance premiums skyrocket. They're the ones seeing their employers drop health insurance coverage altogether. What is absolutely critical for climbing the economic ladder is robust economic growth. When you have an environment where small businesses can survive, where they're creating jobs, that's what impacts more than anything else those just beginning to climb the economic ladder. You know, it's interesting. If you look at the distribution, socioeconomic distribution in 1990, if you look at the top quintile, the top 20%, and the bottom quintile, the bottom 20%, 10 years after 1990, the bottom quintile, the bottom 20%, 60% of those people in the bottom quintile had moved up. In that same decade, 40% of the top quintile had moved down. We have an incredible economic mobility in this country, an incredible ability for each and every one of us to achieve anything, absolutely anything, based not on who our family is, not on who our daddy is, but based on hard work and perseverance and on the content of our character. That's what's unique about America. That's why millions of people have come from all over the world to America, because there's no nation on earth that presents the opportunity we have here to achieve anything. Let's take, for example, talking about false consciousness, let's take young people. There are a lot of young people watching this program right now. You know, if you were to sit down and try to design an agenda to just destroy young people, to hammer young people, to rob them blind. To be honest, you could not come up with a more effective agenda than the Obama agenda. I'm reminded of a joke that Jay Leno told before the last election. Jay Leno said, So President Obama is targeting first-time voters. Well, of course he is. The second-time voters have all graduated. They can't find a job. You know, there's a lot of truth to that joke. Just recently, the Wall Street Journal had a long story about what it called the lost generation, all the young people coming out of school who haven't been able to get a job. And, you know, it's not just the first job. If you don't get your first job, you don't get any skills, you don't get training, and you don't get your second job, and you don't get your third job. And climbing the economic ladder, the first couple of rungs are so absolutely critical. Hammering small businesses, less than 1% growth for four consecutive years on average, is absolutely destructive to young people because they're just getting started, and that harm will ripple on for decades. But secondly, you want to understand Obamacare. One of the simplest ways to understand Obamacare, it is a massive wealth transfer from young, healthy people to everyone else. Billions and billions of dollars being transferred from young, healthy people to everyone else. And finally, in 4.5 years of President Obama's presidency, our national debt has gone from $10 trillion to nearly $17 trillion, to larger than the size of our entire economy. Who the heck do you think is going to pay for that? It's young people. Listen, I think what we're doing to young people is fundamentally immoral. It's wrong to force the next generation to spend your entire working lives not working to meet your priorities, not working to meet the challenges of the future, but working to pay off the debts of your parents and grandparents. And yet that's exactly what's happened. And yet, in this last election, 70% of young people voted for Barack Obama. Now, why was that? Well, I think a big part of it was that false consciousness I mentioned, that a lot of conservatives don't understand that conservative policies work, and they work for those struggling to climb the economic ladder. You know, one of the simplest differences between left and right is both look at the economic ladder, and liberals want to reach down, physically grab people and move them up. And usually that's driven by noble motives, by a desire to help. The problem is, it never, ever, ever works. The only way anyone has ever climbed the economic ladder is to pull himself or herself up one rung at a time. So all of our policies should focus on easing the means of ascent up the economic ladder, empowering people, individual choice, ownership, helping them take responsibility for their lives.
That's the junior senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, talking about conservatism. It's a long series, and there's more than just his series, but it's right there at freethinku.com. That's freethinku.com. Get people to listen to it. Get people to learn it. Learn it yourself, because you have to know what conservative principles are if you are going to measure the candidates for their conservatism. If you're going to let some douchebag like Karl Rove tell you who a conservative is, you're going to keep electing rhinos, you're going to keep ceding the ground to the left, and we're going to keep on this leftward course to absolutist government and total socialism, which is really just a sentimental cover for corporatism or fascism. And the problem is that looking at the 20th century, we see that this fails. These fools think that they're going to get it right this time because they can do it better than anybody else. It cannot be done. And there's this determinist historicism, this perverse idea put forth by Marx that history is marching on and eventually the state will wither away and the proletariat and blah, blah, blah. This is not true. History is not some other entity. History is the recorded acts of live human beings right now. It's about people. And conservatism is the only political agenda, okay, because it's not an ideology, but it's the only principles of politics that is focused on the person, the human being and their inherent dignity, not some kind of amorphous theoretical construct that's full of crap and tyranny. And this is also true of making an idol out of the markets. Of course conservatism is about free markets. Of course free markets bring more prosperity to more people than anything else. And that's what people have to really understand. But you can't make an idol out of the free market. You have to understand what it is and that it is focused on a human being. Got a little quote here from Rocco Buttiglione, who's an Italian philosopher. The smallest element of the free market is a contract, the encounter of the free will of two human beings. They must both be free, for if they are not, there can be no contract, and thus no free market. In this way, the law on contracts that stands at the very basis of the free market economy is a law that presupposes human freedom. Free markets, and this is what is being thrown around there right now with the Obama agenda and even the Republican correction of it, because we talk about free markets. It's thrown out there that free markets are this thing that we have to idolize. There's no such thing really as a free market. That's just what we label the free interactions of free human beings. Economy serves man. In socialism, man serves the economy, which means that most of us are nothing but utilitarian cogs in the machine for the new corporatist feudal overlords. It's not about freedom, and that's what Ted was talking about there. These are good lessons. I mean, Chris, don't you think people should really just internalize this stuff and know what it means?
Yeah, I think people should take a portion of their day, their week, their month, and educate themselves because we need less sheep and we need more educated people. You know, the dumbing down America is not just a thing on the left. I look at I look at the way people vote, and I look at some of these people like McCain and McConnell and Graham and the rest of them that have been voted in and again and again and again and again and again by their constituents, and I just go, you've got to be kidding me. They are the enemy. If you believe, you know, if you believe in the Republican platform, you know, or any part of it. So I think it's important. I love reading this stuff because it clarifies. And it also shows you something extremely important, is that is our founding fathers weren't stupid. You know, they weren't a bunch of guys living in the woods, you know, that pitched together this document that's outdated and needs to be changed or rewritten. And that's all bull crap. And these were very learned men. And they did something that had never been done before. You know, a government, well, not done before, but it, to the extent they did. You know, the amount of individual freedom and personal connection to the government and the ruling of the country was pretty powerful. Of course, we had, you know, republics in Greek and Rome, too, you know, that they built a lot of things off of. But it is an amazing thing. This country was to me, you know, it was a divine inspiration. I mean, it just, man is not that good on his own, you know what I mean? And what they put together is amazing, and we've lost it. We're not losing it. We've lost it. You know, we could argue that what this country was and the way it was put, you know, put together to be run and, you know, a citizen government, it's been gone for a long time. People got busy, you know, working their jobs, making their money, climbing the ladder of success, doing whatever it was they were doing, you know, accumulating wealth and, you know, and they forgot to be part of government and part of the process. And when you don't involve yourself, then the people in power just keep making laws. You know, they come up with ideas and go, oh, that's a great idea. I'm a good person. Let's pass this law. Oh, well, we got to do that. And there's, we got to save the swamp. So let's pass that law. And, oh, you know, and we need to do this. And now we need to do that. And now we need to do the other. And they just become this perpetual machine of ideas and laws and power. And we allowed that to happen. That's the saddest part of this whole conversation. Is, you know, we can bitch and moan all day long about, you know, the abuse of power, but, you know, where in the hell were you when Bush was doing this stuff? That's the frustrating part, because when the Republican was in, it was okay to abuse people's the Fourth Amendment, because it was a Republican, it was wrong. And the problem was there weren't that many people that stood up against it. And now that Obama's in there, he's doing it, and his people won't stand up against him. It's frustrating as hell because, you know, teams don't make your life better, you know, which team is in power. You know, the rule of law makes your life better. Sound economic principles make your life better. You know, not spending all of our resources and our youth and our blood and treasure around the world, you know, fighting these stupid wars over things that nobody can even figure out what the hell we went there for anymore. You know, it's a different era, and the things that are going on are going to destroy our country. God, it just brings me back to the to Rome right before it fell. You know, that people figured out that they could, you know, politicians figured out that if they could control things like food and economics and contracts to people and make everybody dependent on the government, and then the people figured out that if I vote for these guys, they'll give me more wheat, I can get more land, I can get more kickbacks, I can get contracts for arms or for whatever, making paper, you know, whatever the industry was of its time, they figured out that I can vote myself more stuff in by voting for the crooked politician. The politicians figured they could get people to keep them in power because they got control of the industries and what the industries could do and not do. And then they had perpetual war going on all around them. They got to the point where they screwed up the economy so bad, and they made people dependent on government, so productivity and that individual creativity that is so unique in the human, you know, existence started to falter, that the only way they could keep the lie going, so to speak, you know, the economic lie, was to continue to, you know, launch wars. And pretty soon you kill off enough of your young people and your military gets weak, and then you start building your military force becomes other countries, and then you start training up your enemies. Isn't that funny? I mean, when you just think, I mean, I just barely skirted, you know, the conditions at the end of Rome. And then they crumbled from within, and then their enemies, which is so funny because a lot of those guys that sacked Rome were guys that were in their legions, you know, and learned, you know, their fighting techniques. And so they just basically went bye-bye. And we are much closer to that dynamics than anybody is willing to admit. I mean, you watch Fox News, you don't hear anybody talk about it. You know, they talk about, oh, stock market was up again today. Wow, and then everything's great. You know, it's a bunch of bullshit. It's a bunch of printed money. Yeah, you know, they've been dumping $85 billion a month into the market. And the guys at the top are trading it and playing with it and making wealth off of it and accumulating that money into themselves and creating wealth. And the rest of America, then you hear somebody, in the next show talks about the number of people on unemployment and welfare and disability benefits, and we had to cut our veterans' benefits. Well, out of the other side of your mouth, you listen to the next guy tell you how great it is. And then Obama gets up there and tells you all how wonderful everything he's done and how wonderful it is. Then he turns around and says, I got to do this and this and this because it's so terrible. Which is it? You know? I mean, that's the part that's so frustrating, Rex, is like, do you get it yet? I mean, I don't know how many times when I post something, I'll say, "Do you get it yet? Are you learning? Do you understand yet? You know, are you reading this shit that we're posting here? You know, the time and energy we put, you know, finding the right people and the right resources and the right articles and the right commentators and the right economics people and post that stuff for you. I'm not doing it for me. I don't need to post a damn thing. I've already read it or I already understand it. You know, it's for people. You know, because if we don't have an educated citizenship, and that's one of the greatest things that Ron Paul brought to the table, was he educated a lot of people about the Fed, about the insanity of our military adventures around the world. I mean, our men are getting killed by the same guys that we're training, you know, the same guys in Afghanistan that we're now we're training them and arming them to invade a sovereign country in Syria. Like, what the hell was that? I mean, why did we fight that war? It was supposed to be over bad guys, terrorists, Islamo-Nazis, and now we're training them to do what? To invade a sovereign country? A country that allowed multiple religions in it. In fact, it was a country that when we invaded Iraq, that most of the Christians were allowed into Syria because Bashar, even though he's not a great guy, you know, he was pretty cool with other religions, and a lot of Christians went there, you know, in the war in Iraq, and now we're trying to topple Syria, and we're lying about it, you know? I mean, where does it start and where does it stop? And it's only going to stop if we get these bastards out of power, and that means fresh blood. Well, does that mean it's perfect and it'll all be good tomorrow, and does that mean that, you know, the guy who is our hero today might turn into a neocon, you know, liar tomorrow? I don't know. You know, I mean, right now, you know, Ted is awesome and Rand is awesome and Amash is awesome and whatever. You know, a lot of guys start out awesome, and then they get caught up in that cesspool of Washington, D.C. and Virginia there, and they sell their soul to the devil. I mean, because it's some evil shit going on there.
That's why we have a constitution.
Yeah, and you're paying for it. That constitution's an amazing document. Have you read it? I know you have. I'm being facetious, you know. but you know what I'm saying? It ain't that long. It's a lot shorter than that damn trillion-dollar farm bill full of pork, you know.
4 pages.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's not that difficult. When you look at your family and you look at your personal budgets in your home, you know, you look at your basic primary things that it takes to survive as a family, it's pretty simple. All this other crap is crap. If your country falls apart and your economy goes to hell, I mean, think about it. What's the U.S. dollar worth? About 5 cents now compared to 1913 when they built the Fed, launched the Fed, you know, while nobody was looking on a Christmas Eve. You know, now it's worth a nickel. Well, when all this money they're printing and all this U.S. trade dollar comes home because the rest of the world's sick of our monetary policy and they're starting to do trade, inner trade between countries, no longer using the U.S. dollar, and all that money comes home, and so this $10 trillion finally moves down into the market, what the hell do you think the dollar is going to be worth then? And people, I don't know if people get it when we talk about this stuff, but do you remember, I remember when $20,000 was medium income in America, and you lived pretty good. Now if you make 50 grand, you're broke. Don't people understand that, Rex? That's 25 years, you know? Are you getting 20% increase a year in your wage? If not, well, I guarantee you that, you know, milk is 20% higher. You know, gas is outrageous, and nobody even bitches about it. That's all they could talk about on the news when gas went up under George Bush, you know? And so here we sat trying to educate people and get them to understand, you know, this. We don't live in this. I mean, I don't think you and I sound like, conspiracy theory guys. I think we're pretty solid in our information and how we approach things. And I try to, you know, think about if somebody doesn't know what I'm talking about, am I explaining myself well? This shit's real. You know, it ain't getting better. And the dollar is devaluing right now, all the money they're printing hasn't moved down in the market yet. When it finally moved, you know, I don't even know if people understand what fiat currency is. You know, where they take $1 billion, you know, the Fed prints it, and the upper banks, you know, the U.S. buys it and sells the Fed some bonds and, you know, makes some kind of a deal, you know, for a repayment on it. And then it starts moving into the upper banks, and then it starts moving down. Well, every time they take a dollar, you know, they say, well, okay, I got a dollar in my account, so I can now legally make it $7 and lend it out, or I can make it $20. It depends on, you know, the bank or the institute. As it moves down through the marketplace, that $1 billion ends up being, you know, $50 billion. And it's all fake, and there's nothing supporting it on the back end. And so when you have an economic hiccup, you know, or like a bubble pops, like the real estate bubble or stock market, whatever, you know, the .com/bomb, you know, you have a little tiny 1-3% hiccup in the market, it wipes out trillions of dollars because it was all fake anyway. So everybody was borrowing and building on an illusion. I mean, I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but that's pretty much our economic policy, and that's why we crash every few years. Because they give all this cheap money and all this borrowing and all this risk and speculation, and then you look out and go, yeah, but, you know, we're a $17 trillion economy. Well, how are you doing personally? Because it ain't happening on Main Street. Maybe happen on Wall Street, and they may be living pretty good where you live, but it sucks wind out here in the rest of America, and they're claiming that the housing market is recovering? What? I'm a contractor. There ain't no freaking housing. Well, cheap money is keeping housing inflated. It's all bullshit. Sorry.
That's the point. And they're trying to perpetuate that system. No, you're absolutely right. And people think it's too complicated and don't get it. And if they start to get it, it's so daunting and so frightening that you don't want to get it. Well, look, if you're a conservative or a conservative libertarian, then what you really are at your core is a realist. This is what it is. Do I want to do two shows a week? And by the way, we're doing two shows a week now, Thursdays and Sundays at 9 p.m., and we're taking calls on Thursdays. I get 6 million people trying to call in on Sunday when we don't have time to take calls, and yet you're skipping out on me today. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Call in on Thursdays. We'll be back live on Sunday at 9, but we won't be taking calls because we've got a full show to talk about the stuff that we've touched on today, primarily the filibuster that Cruz did in the Senate in order to prevent the erasing of the debt ceiling. And that's what you people don't understand, is that there is no debt ceiling. Obama now borrows as much as he wants, or as much as the owners of the Federal Reserve tell him to borrow, okay? And all he has to do is inform Congress of what he's doing. He doesn't have to ask them for money. There is no power of the purse in Congress anymore. And because of the Paul Ryan budget, which goes out 2 years, this guy doesn't have to ask them for money or pretty much anything. Now he has a phone and a pen and money. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Whose fault is this? It is Boehner's and McConnell's. We're also going to be talking about Rand Paul's lawsuit. That's Rand Paul versus Barack Obama suing Barack Obama over the NSA, which is spying on you. Why do you think they're spying on you? They want to know if you're a good cog or if you're a bad cog. If you're a bad cog, they want to deal with you. If you're a good cog and you're doing what you're supposed to do, going into debt, working for the corporations, buying useless consumer products that you don't need, then, you know, and voting for the, you know, corporatist rhinos or the corporatist Democrats, then they're going to leave you alone. And you're going to have a meager existence of material benefit, but you're not going to be free. That's the problem. And this is as much of a problem for people who identify as Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, as it is for the fools that actually still think of themselves as liberals and Democrats. This is what's going on here, and you need to call them out on it. Okay, McConnell's phone number is 202-224-2541. Batter him. Boehner's number is 202-225-0600. Batter him. And more importantly, call and help the guys that are running in primaries against McConnell and Boehner and the rest of the rhinos and help them get elected. What did you do today to advance the conservative cause of liberty? You post some useless article about Barack Obama's from Kenya. Hey, that ship has sailed. Maybe he's from Kenya, maybe he's not from Kenya. It doesn't matter. He's going to be here until January 2017. You need a Congress that has balls enough to stand up to the imperial president and put him back in his place. That's what you need to do. And you need to make sure that the Republican Party gains seats in the Senate to get a majority and maintain seats in the House, but not just Republican seats, because that won't help. You need conservative and libertarians in those seats. That's not going to happen by accident. That's not going to happen because of the Koch brothers. That's not going to happen because of Karl Rove. It is only going to happen if you reach out to people who are currently not involved, who don't know what's going on, educate them, get them involved, and get them to do something every single day to advance the conservative cause of liberty. That's what you have to do. And don't get bogged down in the stupid labels. We just heard that clip from Ted Cruz about conservatism, opportunity conservatism. All the other classes are there. There's one on libertarianism, one on the Constitution, one on ordered liberty. There's lots of good stuff there. Get educated, because the terms have been robbed. Yeah. Most people think that George W. Bush was a conservative, that Karl Rove is a conservative, that Mitt Romney is severely conservative. Okay? What the hell does that mean? The problem is the terms are perverted. As Friedrich von Hayek said, if old truths are to retain their hold on men's minds, they must be restated in the language and concepts of successive generations. What at one time are their most effective expressions gradually become so worn with use that they cease to carry a definite meaning. The underlying ideas may be as valid as ever, but the words, even when they refer to problems that are still with us, no longer convey the same conviction. The arguments do not move in a context familiar to us, and they rarely give direct answers to the questions we are asking. Okay? You need to know what a real conservative is. You need to know what a real libertarian is. You need to get other people to understand these things, to know why it's important that Rand Paul, a year ago this coming March, filibustered for 13 hours on the floor of the Senate to defend your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights against being struck down by a drone.
Now he is suing, along with FreedomWorks, Matt Kibbe, which are more libertarian-oriented, and the litigator on the case is Ken Cuccinelli, who almost made it as governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, but was defeated by who? Oh, no, he wasn't defeated by Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe is a friggin' joke. He was defeated by Karl Rove, John Boehner, and Mitch McConnell and the friggin' rhinos because you allowed it to happen while we gave an overwhelming landslide victory to the Bridges Out, Chris Krusty the Clown from New Jersey, because that's the kind of Republican that they want. They want complicit left-wing Republicans like Chris Christie. They don't want real conservatives like Ken Cuccinelli or Rand Paul or Ted Cruz. That's the problem. You have to fix it.
Well, I was just going to say, and there's ratings. Finally, somebody's putting out good information on state ratings, because that's always been, you know, something I was interested in, because it's like, you know, obviously nobody's getting crap done at the federal level. What are these states doing? And it is pretty amazing to do the research on it. But, you know, Chris Christie, the celebrated liberal moderate, whatever the hell you want to call him, he's a freaking Democrat. You know, his state is like 46th in the union. I mean, he hadn't done anything. He had a couple little battles with some of the unions, this, that, and the other. You want to look to, you know, dynamic change. You look at Texas. You look at Louisiana. You look at what, you know, Arizona. You look at these states where people really made serious changes. And I'm like, why in the hell did they make him the head of the Governor's Association? The guy, you know, the guy, he's another Romney. And they think that's what it's going to take to win. You know, they keep losing. You know, the Republican Party keeps bleeding out. And they're, you know, now we're at over 40% of the people are independents. And they keep thinking that's because of the principles of the party. No, it's because they violate the principles of the party. People don't trust them. It's a trust level. It's not, what do you believe in? You don't tell me the majority of people in America. I mean, here's a poll for you. 72% of the people in the country believe the government's the problem, okay? And then which party is supposedly the party of smaller government? Okay, well, if that's true, then why are they bleeding out? Because they don't believe that that party is standing on what it believes on. That's what it is, a trust level. It's not a principle issue. If 72% of the people believe in the things we believe in, most people live, you know, whether they're Democrat or Republican, know our damn country's falling apart socially. They know that. They know the family unit's important. You know, they know that drugs and alcohol and crime and violent crime and inner city crime is bad. They don't kid themselves. They don't look at that as a success. And we're supposed to be the party that stands on that shit. And then they abandon it when they get in power, you know, because they're worried about the leftist media that might challenge them on an issue. I mean, that's what the problem is. You know, if you speak the truth and your principles are solid and then you live by them when you're governing, then people will trust you and then they will back you. That's what the problem is. I mean, if you think about it, the 2008 election was a sweeping win for Democrats, including putting, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to call him, the most liberal president in power. I have other words for it. But, you know, putting that sweeping win was because the Republicans broke trust. And so not only was it an uproar of people voting in the Democratic circle, but it was also a lot of Republicans didn't vote. You know, and that's what the issue is. Romney, you know, as bad as they hated Obama, Romney did not inspire the base. And he lost. And he lost to a president who had 3.5 million less people get up and vote for him than the last time. I mean, he was the easiest guy in the world to beat. And they gave it away because they put a fluffball in there who is not a moderate. He is a progressive. And if you don't understand
Liberal Democrat,
then you need to learn it. He's a Democrat. Look at how he ran his state. He did all kinds of climate change crap and gun control crap and
Obamacare.
You know, he was a liberal, and he got the Republican Party and frickin' Karl Rove and the rest of these rhinos and these people in the RNC sat down and said, "Oh, we got to reach the moderates." No. You need to reach people at the core. You need to say, I believe in smaller government, and I'm gonna govern that way, and I'm going to vote that way when I'm in power, and we're going to stop this Leviathan from destroying our country. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing, too. You know, the Republican Party's, I don't know how this got convoluted. You know, who started the Vietnam War? A Democrat. You know, what about Korea? I mean, it's just they, all of a sudden, you know, the Republicans are the war party. And I'm like going, how in the hell did that happen? George Bush ran on an anti-war platform. You know, he kind of sounds like Rand Paul. Kind of sounded like Rand Paul a little bit. You know, he was like, ah, you know, we shouldn't be interfering in countries like that. And we need to be careful with our power and we shouldn't be nation building. You know, and then they get then he gets in power. And he screws it all up and down one side and the other. And then we get Obama and 2 years of unfeathered supermajorities in the House and Senate. And then the people rise up. The conservative base of the country rises up, gets back the House, sweeps across the country, 24 states under full Republican control, 34 Republican governors. And then these assholes get in there and they continue to act like Democrats and hand Obama everything he wants. That's why there's 42% independents. It isn't the platform. It's the frickin' crooks who won't live by what they claim that they are when they get elected. Listen, to go back on the Internet. I mean, that's the magic of the Internet. Go back to YouTube and look at John McCain's campaign speeches when he's trying to get reelected as a senator. He sounds like a little bit of Rand Paul back then. And Ted Cruz. And then he gets in, and he can't get under the sheets with the Democrats fast enough. It's a lie. And if we don't quit voting these people back into office, then it doesn't matter. Because whether you got Republicans in there, Democrats in there, if that's their agenda, unlimited debt ceiling, Bush raised it five frickin' times. He broke the record. That's one of the reasons they lost the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Because they had such a perfect platform to look and go and look at what a mess these Republicans made when they had a majority for 6 years. And the Democrats get in power and do the exact same damn thing, but because Republicans don't know how to message and fight the battle, they can get up there and do the same stupid thing that Bush administration did. Wars and overspending and no reform and open borders and everything, exact same damn thing. But the thing is, they get away with it because they can message and they control most of the media, and Republicans can't message because they don't know what the hell they stand for. That's what the problem is. That's what we're facing. And when you see somebody stand up like Cruz or Rand or Amash or, you know, Gowdy or any of these guys, they stand up and they make sense. And look at how much airtime they get because there's what they speak and what they stand for. Yeah, they get attacked, but they also build a tremendous amount of momentum and energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless what you think of Sarah Palin, she is who she is. She knows what she believes, and she speaks the truth, and she lives it, and it resonates with people. You know, why?
Yeah, well,
because she's predictable.
Truth.
She's predictable.
Truth is predictable. Yeah, the truth is predictable. Mm-hmm. But see, that's the problem, is we get caught up in all these personalities, right? You know, this person is good, this person, I don't like Rand's style, Ted's kind of, you know, a bully. It doesn't matter. This is the problem. You're in the mindset that you are electing men to rule you. You're not electing men to rule you. You're supposed to be electing men to pass laws under which they also live. The only prerequisite in this convoluted world we live in now, right, is if the person that you are electing genuinely believes and acts with a respect for the rule of law, not self-aggrandizement, not perpetual politicking, not political careers to enrich themselves, not power for the sake of power or to wield corruption or grant favors for their friends. You need
or compromise.
Right, on the principles of liberty, conservatism, and respect for the rule of law. I mean, you can run around, you know, like,
now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man!
The whole thing, the sky is falling. Like, yeah, you know what? The situation sucks. You can run around in fear, or you can just bitch about things all day long and nitpick with Rand and Ted and all this kind. Or you could do something about it, and that's the issue. Now, you're busy. You got your life, your family. You got your religious duties. You've got your business. You've got your job. You're trying to pay your bills. It's overwhelming.
But all of that won't matter if we lose this. Do you really want to have those concerns taken away from you? You know, not worrying about the next paycheck, not worrying about how you're going to pay your bills, making sure that you're provided with a modicum of shelter and some health care when you're healthy. And, of course, when you're unhealthy, well, you know, we'll mercifully just let you pass on. They'll provide you with some, you know, government GMO food. Is that what you want? Because you see, you won't have anything to worry about. You'll just be told what to do, where to go, how to live, and they'll present you with some kind of pretense of choice. You know, like the Obamacare plans. There's four different plans to choose from. Well, they all suck. Okay, the whole system is falling apart. More people have been taken off their health insurance than have been put on it, and it's more expensive than it's ever been. See, this is the stupidity of trying to mandate everything from a central power. Now, if you want that kind of
never
life,
worked.
Well, then, you know what? Go ahead. I'm going to fight you tooth and nail the whole way. But if you don't want that kind of life, you don't just sit back and bitch about it. You don't go along with the Karl Rove socialist Republicans. You don't just complain about Barack Obama. You get off your butt and you do something, and you can't do it alone. You get off your butt, and you get 10 other people off their butts every single week. And stop talking to the same 10 people. You need to expand the circle, get more people involved, get them to make some phone calls, get them to study conservatism, get them to wake some people up, and donate your time, talent, and treasure to those people who are really going to run for office so they can win office and that they can pass laws to roll back this monster and allow society to fill the gaps. And for government to do only those 18 things it is supposed to do according to the Constitution. That's how it works. You have to do it. And it requires action, not just retweeting and reposting shit on Facebook. Although if you see the show out there, you better share it and retweet it and promote it, because we spend money to do this, and it takes a lot more time than just the time we're broadcasting to get it to you. And we do it because it's important, and we hope that it's somewhat entertaining and informative. But you're the only reason anybody knows it exists. If you're not sharing this, and you can listen to all our shows anytime on our page, just go to Blog Talk Radio, go to Liberty's Thunder, all the shows are there, and they're all relevant on some particular topic. Share them. Get people involved. Call in on Thursdays. Because, you know, if this isn't getting out there, it's doing nothing. And if you're not getting it out there and you're just listening for your own entertainment value, well, we appreciate you listening, but if you're not getting this information out there, we're not really making much of a change. You know, the fact is that I forget who wrote this, Joseph Raz, who's actually a liberal jurist. People have goals and have desires for reasons. They believe that the objects of their desires or their pursuits are valuable. This reason-dependent character of goals and desires entails that any person who has a goal or a desire believes, if he has a minimal understanding of their nature, that if he came to believe that there were no reasons to pursue the goal or the desire, he would no longer have them. Well, why are you pursuing liberty? Why are you trying to get conservatives elected? So that you can live your life the way that you ought to, the way that you determine it to be, with as much liberty as possible, but ordered our lives together, not anarchy or chaos. If you don't believe that, if you think that all it is about having some food, a shelter, you know, something to entertain you or make you feel good, then you're already living as a child, and the state is going to act like your mother. And you will have no autonomy, and you cannot reach your full potential. You cannot flourish as a human being. You are always going to be a little child. And a lot of conservatives think this. They just want their mother to be conservative or Republican rather than liberal. You got to wake them up. You got to fight for these things. If you're not fighting for these things, then it matters not. Now, what's going to happen? Who knows? The future is unpredictable. But the fact is that if you don't try, if you surrender before you even fight, then you're not going to win. You're guaranteed a loss. And there are people fighting. Ted Cruz didn't give a filibuster just to, you know, make himself look good. He did it for a very specific reason, because he wants the Senate Republicans to stand with him and get things done. But McConnell and Cornyn and those other assholes don't want to get anything done. What he did when he gave that filibuster was he forced the Republicans to vote for cloture, meaning that they voted to wipe out the debt ceiling so that Obama can spend to his heart's content. Why are you worried about that? Because you're the one he's putting in debt. You're responsible for it. And even if you're not going to be alive or to pay it back, it's robbing you of the value of your money right now. That's why things cost more. That's why you can't get as much done. And what do?
You got two choices. You can either turn to the government for help, or you can fight to get that freedom of autonomy back so that you can pick yourself up and help out somebody else who needs help. And I'm not talking about the lazy. I'm talking about the truly indigent. That's what it's about. We built this country. We have a government that facilitates the order within which we build the country. What they're trying to do is they're trying to take it over so that you are not building the country anymore. You're just a cog in the corporatist machine serving your neo-feudal lords. That's where we are. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to look like Nazi Germany. It's going to look like America. But it's not. And you have to fight for it. We've only got 15 minutes live. We've got a pretty big closing. So, Chris, why don't we go to you for your final thoughts? And remember, you can listen to this in archives. You can share the show. And we'll be back live Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to dig deep into this filibuster and Rand Paul's NSA lawsuit. In the meantime, share the show, get it out there. After Chris and I close now, I've got a clip from Ronald Reagan's Republican National Convention speech in 1992, where it seemed that the Republicans were actually doing quite well, other than electing George H.W. Bush. But then things fell apart real quick, and it wasn't until Gingrich gave us the conservative revolution of 94 that things looked good again. But that ended by 2000. This is the moment for us to bring back a real conservative, constitutional/libertarian revolution. All right, Chris, final thoughts.
You know, you just said something that just, I mean, you said a lot, and it was awesome. But, you know, 2000, that's 14 years ago, Rex. Look at the frickin' where we're at 14 years later. It's a mess. And you were saying something about in your dialogue there about, you know, I don't, you know, what's it going to look like? How bad is it going to be? When is it going to happen? There's a correction coming. You cannot do what this government has done. You can't do what George W. Bush administration did and not expect it to impact the society and economics and everything else. And you can't do what Obama's been doing, because that's been, you know, about 10 times worse. There's always corrections for anything you do. You overeat, you're going to have issues. You know what I mean? You eat too much sugar, you're going to have issues. You smoke, you're going to have issues. You spend money and you get a bunch of credit cards and go in debt and, you know, way over your limits, you're going to have issues. There's always issues. The thing is somewhere along the line, because we have a government that, you know, it took us off the gold standard, so that released those constraints on how they had to treat currency. And they went hog-ass wild, and they started buying votes. That means, you know, they built all these big organizations and modernized the country and, you know, and stuck their finger in every issue across the land, and here we are. And they're not slowing down. They're not even attempting, you know, the senator, I'm sorry, I just had a brain fart, but the senator does the waste and fraud report every year, starts with a C. But, you know, it's a couple hundred billion dollars, and nobody even talks about tightening up those constraints. $4 billion to illegal aliens. I mean, it was like thousands of checks sent to one address, and they couldn't even figure out there might have been some fraud involved. I mean, you know, Medicaid fraud, Medicare fraud, disability fraud, food stamp fraud. It's just, this machine is so out of control, whether or not you're more, you know, more central government, you want government there because you want that safety net, or you're more free enterprise and get the government the hell out of the way, back to where our founding fathers put it, you know, or halfway in between. You know, the system is broken. $640 million to build a website didn't work. And you know, and we've had people on, you know, from the technology world saying, I could have built that thing for $2 million, $640 million. No competition bid, just handed it over. Say, here you go, $640 million. Hey, don't worry about it. Stole it from the people. They're going to pay it for it. We printed it, and then they're going to pay it back. And if that doesn't bother you, that's just one of a thousand things that we can cover, because we bounce off all this stuff. This is what happens when you have too much power in one place. And they control the purse strings, especially with the power to tax, the power to print money out of thin air with no constraint, no gold standard to hold it back, or you know, create a weight to keep them from going crazy, and the power to tax, which means they make the mistakes, they print and borrow, and then you pay for it. And then they tell you, oh, we got to tax the rich, they're not paying their fair share, and which is just the biggest bull crap lie there is. Half the country doesn't even pay federal tax, you know, federal income tax. And they just, you can't solve the problem that way. The problem never gets talked about. I've been waiting for five flipping years for the Republicans to stand up and use the tools that are available for them, you know, to fight this mess and to make some changes. And all they do is make excuses, and then they roll over, and then they vote for the next insane bill. You know, the last budget was insane, full of pork. The farm bill, insane, full of pork. The debt ceiling thing, criminal, absolutely evil criminal that they handed this man with his record over the last 5 years, the ability to have unlimited debt ceiling. It's just mind-boggling to me. And how many people are even talking about it? Not many. You know, I was watching them do a little thing. I know, you know, I got the TV on mute here on Fox. And they have a thing on, okay, we're looking at a wrecked train, and then the snowstorm, and then a thing on O.J. Simpson. And I'm thinking, frickin' Rome is burning. This is shit you guys are talking about. Mind-boggling. So that being said, we'll just keep rocking on, and hopefully we educate enough people so that comes time to vote in 2014, and especially 2016, that we can make an impact. And I got to live here, too. That's what sucks. You and I were talking about that earlier. They just,
where are you going to go?
People are just going to let this thing collapse, and they just stand there with their eyes, you know, watching whatever, Super Bowl, Olympics, whatever. And you know, oh, it's too overwhelming. Well, so is slavery. You know, we've spent 10,000 years of civilized history. You know, you can read it from start to finish. There's a lot of history to show, you know, how terrible it's been for the individual person throughout history. We finally get a situation where you can have, you know, maximum amount of power and freedom and opportunity in your hands, and people are just standing here going, duh, you know, and letting these bastards ruin this country. That's the part that frustrates me the most. So that's it for me. Sunday's going to be a whopper. We're just getting warmed up for the week, it sounds like.
Yep. Tell them about the group.
Oh, God, do I have to?
Yes.
Liberty Talk. Liberty Talk is the group. And this is another one of those things that this group is unlike any other group out there, because I never wanted one to begin with. And I didn't want just a, you know, this massive chat environment where everybody posted the news of the day and the stuff just flew down the page and the important stuff got kicked off the page. We build individual topics for the big old stinking picture there, and I'm getting better how I build the picture. You just go in the photo section. You can go, oh, there's Egypt, there's Syria, there's the Middle East, there's economics, there's whatever. That's all that's in there. The only pictures in the photo section are specific to threads that we have on the group. You know, totalitarianism, you know, whatever, Obamacare, whatever the topic is, the NSA, the IRS, and we post into those environments so that the information stays in one place. Because, you know, five people post something on Facebook, and the last good post is off the page, and that's always a problem with it. So this is a way to keep the information together. Now, if you're one of those people going, well, yeah, but you guys know so much. Well, it took time to know this much. And what we're trying to do is create an environment, whether it's a radio show or the group, where you can go and learn, you know, and then after a thread gets about 500,000, 600,000, 800,000 long, I clean it out and build a new thread and transfer, you know, the last 2 or 3 days of the good stuff and start over, you know. And so the idea, I mean, it's really for education and conversation on the key topics. And so if you're going, well, I'd like to know what you know, join the dang group and get involved. You know, listen to the shows. Go back in the archives and listen to past shows. We try, and I believe we do a good job. There's days I'm looking in the mirror going, what the hell are we doing? But, you know, the goal is education. That's what we're here for, you know. And to help you, yeah, education and action, to help you learn and hopefully you know, do it in a way that, that captivates and helps you get through the noise and haste and learn so that you can then be more effective with your spouse, your kids, your friends, your neighbors. Because, you know, all of the 2010 Tea Party explosion was a less than 0.2% increase in voting output. Less than 0.2%, Rex. And so it doesn't take a lot to change the country. It doesn't take, oh, it's so overwhelming. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. If you make sure that 10 people are voting in 2014 that didn't really vote in 2012, and every and 10,000 people did that, it's real numbers. And that's what we're trying to do is create that, that multiplier effect. And, you know, and my goal is not to tell you who to vote for. My goal is to tell you who the enemy is, and then you go find the right person to vote for, because we can't track all the information. You got your local, state, you know,
like a thousand
House,
races,
Senate. You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot going on, and I can't track it all. I actually merged four threads because I can't manage it. You know, so I have one 2014 thread now, and then, you know, go figure it out. But figure out who the enemy is, because they're destroying your damn country while they're lying to you. So quit being lied to. Quit being a victim. You know, freedom is responsibility. That's the problem. My rights, my freedom. Well, that shit's going to be over if you're not responsible. That's,
right on.
That's the key, you know. So anyway, that's my input.
All right. And we'll be back Sunday, 9 p.m., for more irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. If you're listening live now, you're going to lose the feed in 2 minutes unless you call in 646-649-1013. I'm going to wrap this up now, and then I've got a little bit of Reagan for you, part of the closing. It's always good to hear the Gipper speak, because he spoke well. You know, Livy said that they should use their liberty with discretion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Liberty ain't free, all right? Liberty, as Chris just said, is responsibility. You have to take responsibility. If you don't, then you lose your liberty. Now, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to die. As long as you please the state and you're useful to the state, then they'll give you a mediocre existence, and you can aspire to mediocrity and exist until you become unhealthy, and then they let you die. But you'll never be truly human. You will never be who you were made to be unless you are truly free. And free doesn't mean to do whatever the hell you want to do. Free means to become the person you were made to be. But you can't do that when the government is your mother. You can't do that when the government's in your toilet. You can't do that when they tell you what light bulb to have, what you can eat, what you can't eat, where you can go, where you can't go, what you can drive, how to teach your kids, what you can believe. That's the problem. And there are always going to be people among us who want to control other people. For the most part, they're sociopaths. You can either be one of them, or you can be a victim, or you can stand up and fight and build an army of conservatives and libertarians who have actual representatives in government who respect the rule of law and govern according to the situation on hand within the framework that was established as the law. That's the U.S. Constitution. Most of the elected idiots don't even know what the Constitution says. They think there's a good and plenty clause in there. They don't read the bills, but some of them do. And there's more of them now than ever, but still not enough. This is the year for that to happen. You have to make it happen, and you have to start now, and you have to get more people on board to do it. Now is the time to strike a victory for conservatism so that our future will be brighter than our past, or we will just go down the slow road to neo-feudalism and a managed decline, and we won't go out with a bang, but America will disappear with a whimper. And that is pathetic, because people have died, people have fought, people have worked hard to deliver the liberty that you have, and you have no right to squander it. You have to fight for it, and you have to hand it on to your posterity. In 1964, Ronald Reagan gave that famous great speech. We got a little clip of that coming up, along with his 1992 speech at the RNC. Also, what's been going on right now is people have been running their mouths about, you know, it's the 50th anniversary of the British invasion of the Beatles. You know, I just don't get this fascination with the Beatles. I mean, some of their songs were okay. Some of them were pretty good. But for the most part, they were just the first corporate boy band that invaded the U.S. the same year that Reagan gave that famous speech on behalf of Barry Goldwater. There were better bands out there than the Beatles. There's Black Sabbath, the Rolling Stones was a better British band, Steppenwolf and Iron Butterfly are American bands. Plus, we had Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody talks about the Beatles because those guys were co-opted and became mouthpieces for liberalism and socialism. And that's how they get you. They pervert your culture, and they twist your mind so that you're actually thinking you're a conservative. You think you're free, but what you're really doing, okay, what you're really doing is furthering the cause of statism, the cause of collectivism, and eliminating liberty. And you can do that by doing nothing. You can do that by being complicit, or you can do that by not fighting effectively. Just wanting to do it is not enough. You have to get out there and do it. So get out there and do it. You know, the Beatles wrote a song called Revolution, right? You say you want a revolution? Well, make one happen. Make a conservative revolution happen. It's right there at your fingertips. Liberalism is falling apart. Obamacare is destroying the economy. The Federal Reserve has proven to be incompetent. Nobody wants us to have our young men and women stationed all over the world helping jihadis kill Christians in the Middle East. This is the time for conservatism to reign in America and to put the government back in its constitutional box so that we can actually have the local autonomy, the sovereign individuals making smart decisions, helping each other out, building a better future. This is the time to make it happen. But if you sit back on your ass, being distracted by the crap on TV and not getting other people involved and making the case and knowing what the case is and knowing what conservatism really is and knowing what libertarianism really is and what the Constitution really means, then it's all going to go away. And it will be your fault and mine too. Because frankly, if all I do is talk to Chris twice a week now and no one else listens and no one else does anything, then I haven't accomplished a damn thing. You have to do it. Together, we can win, and we can win now. You want a revolution? Make a revolution happen within the form. Now's the time to strike. Don't sit back on your ass. Get busy. Make it happen. Tell people about Liberty's Thunder. Tell people about Freethink University. We'll be back on Sunday at 9. This is Rex and Trog signing off.
The thunder of liberty rumbles on.
No nation in history has ever survived a tax burden that reached a third of its national income. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned in this country is the tax collector's share. And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in. We haven't balanced our budget 28 out of the last 34 years. We've raised our debt limit 3 times in the last 12 months. And now our national debt is 1.5 times bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world. We have $15 billion in gold in our treasury. We don't own an ounce. Foreign dollar claims are $27.3 billion. And we've just had announced that the dollar of 1939 will now...
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, for that kind introduction. And Mr. Chairman, delegates, friends, fellow Americans, thank you so very much for that welcome. You've given Nancy and me so many wonderful memories, so much of your warmth and affection. We cannot thank you enough for the honor of your friendship. Over the years, I've addressed this convention as a private citizen, as a governor, as a presidential candidate, as a president. And now, once again, tonight, as private citizen Ronald Reagan. Tonight is a very special night for me. Of course, at my age, every night's a special night. After all, I was born in 1911. Indeed, according to the experts, I have exceeded my life expectancy by quite a few years. Now, this is a source of great annoyance to some, especially those in the Democratic Party. But here's the remarkable thing about being born in 1911. In my life's journey over these past 8 decades, I have seen the human race through a period of unparalleled tumult and triumph. I have seen the birth of communism and the death of communism. I have witnessed the bloody futility of 2 world wars and Korea, Vietnam, and the Persian Gulf. I have seen Germany united, divided, and united again. I have seen television grow from a parlor novelty to become the most powerful vehicle of communication in history. As a boy, I saw streets filled with Model Ts. As a man, I have met men who walked on the moon. I have not only seen but lived the marvels of what historians have called the American century. Yet tonight is not a time to look backward. For while I take inspiration from the past, like most Americans, I live for the future. So this evening, for just a few minutes, I hope you will let me talk about a country that is forever young. There was a time when empires were defined by land mass, subjugated peoples, and military might. But the United States is unique because we are an empire of ideals. For 200 years, we have been set apart by our faith in the ideals of democracy, of free men and free markets, and of the extraordinary possibilities that lie within seemingly ordinary men and women. We believe that no power of government is as formidable a force for good as the creativity and entrepreneurial drive of the American people. Those are the ideals that invented revolutionary technologies and a culture envied by people everywhere. This powerful sense of energy has made American synonymous for opportunity the world over. And after generations of struggle, America is the moral force that defeated communism. And all those who would put the human soul itself into bondage. Within a few short years, we Americans have experienced the most sweeping changes of this century, the fall of the Soviet Union and the rise of the global economy. No transition is without its problems, but as uncomfortable as it may feel at the moment, the changes of the 1990s will leave America more dynamic and less in danger than at any time in my life. It wasn't always this way. We mustn't forget, even if they would like to, the very different America that existed just 12 years ago. An America with 21% interest rates and back-to-back years of double-digit inflation. An America where mortgage payments doubled, paychecks plunged, and motorists sat in gas lines. An America whose leaders told us it was our own fault, that ours was a future of scarcity and sacrifice, and that what we really needed was another good dose of government control and higher taxes. It wasn't so long ago that the world was a far more dangerous place as well. It was a world where aggressive Soviet communism was on the rise and America's strength was in decline. It was a world where our children came of age under the threat of nuclear holocaust. It was a world where our leaders told us that standing up to aggressors was dangerous, that America might and determination were somehow obstacles to peace. But we stood tall and proclaimed that communism was destined for the ash heap of history. We never heard so much ridicule from our liberal friends. The only thing that got them more upset was two simple words, evil empire. But we knew then what the liberal Democrat leaders just couldn't figure out. The sky would not fall if America restored her strength and resolve. The sky would not fall if an American president spoke the truth. The only thing that would fall was the Berlin Wall. I heard those speakers at that other convention saying, we won the Cold War. And I couldn't help wondering, just who exactly do they mean by we? And to top it off, they even tried to portray themselves as sharing the same fundamental values of our party. But they truly don't understand the principles so eloquently stated by Abraham Lincoln. Quote, you cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. If we ever hear the Democrats quoting that passage by Lincoln and acting like they mean it, then, my friends, we will know that the opposition has really changed. Until then, when we see all that rhetorical smoke billowing out from the Democrats, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd follow the example of their nominee. Don't inhale.
Destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real solution. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. All right, all right, all right. Your mind is dead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.